Thank you all for coming. We had a little break. It was Purim last week. Was it last week, Purim?
Yes.
It's like a long time since Purim.
Exactly.
Right. I'd like to start, first of all, by thanking our sponsor for 2023, that all the Shirim are sponsored, Le'ilui Nishmas Barnabas Bendy with Zelig Ben Kalman. That's very much appreciated for the whole of the year. If you recall, when we last met 2 weeks ago, we were deep in complicated issues of Hashgacha Pratis. And I gave you part one, and you were probably eagerly awaiting part two, wondering whether things that were happening to you were or were not Hashgacha Pratis. But I realized that we only have three shiurim between now and Pesach. Since Erev Pesach falls on a Wednesday, we don't get a shiur that week. So I felt that we'd have to just put on hold the hashkachic, understandings of the world and deal with them later. I don't suspect that the issues will change between now and whenever we deal with it, please God. Okay, you know something? Maybe, okay. But maybe if Mashiach comes, the whole thing will change anyway. So certainly according to the Ramban, where the whole world becomes miraculous when Mashiach comes, all bets are off. So we'll just have to leave that for now. Okay. But today I'd like to look at a mitzvah by a popular request, which is relates to Shemitah, which is the mitzvah of Biur, which is a very special opportunity because obviously we like to do mitzvot. That's what we're here for, or one of the reasons we're here. And the ability to do mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael, which we were not able to do in Chutz La'aretz, is one of the special treats of living in Eretz Yisrael. Chazal obviously expressed that through Moshe Rabbeinu, that he says he wants to be in Israel, not just to eat the falafel and the other things here, but he wants to be here to keep the mitzvot. Now, obviously, there are lots of mitzvot that we're interested in learning, but not particular to keep. We don't want to keep every mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to divorce one's wife, if that's the appropriate way to bring shalom bayis. That's a mitzvah we actually hope not to keep. But this one is a mitzvah that we would very much like. So I'd like to look with you today at the issue of biur. So next week and the week after, I will get into Pesach. We cannot live in denial anymore. Pesach is coming, whether we like it or not. So I want to speak to those issues. I also want to apologize that I decided, after all the warm weather that we were having, to change the title to Spring on the sheet. 2023, obviously I jumped a little too soon, but nevertheless, hopefully the warm weather will return. Please could you turn off your phones? I've been reminded to turn off your phones so that we have a nice quiet shear in that respect. Okay, let's start. Let's jump in. There's a lot to do today. I'm only going to spend one session on this. This is my third Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael, but it's the first Shemitah that we've owned trees and a yard and a home, and Baruch Hashem, we now have various different Shemitah products knocking around our house. We have some Shemitah grape juice that we made from our vine. We have Shemitah olives that we pickled, Baruch Hashem, from our olive tree. And we have Shemitah pecan nuts that we picked from our pecan, which are very fiddly, actually, to get the pecans out of them. It's much easier just to go to the shops and buy pecans. But nevertheless, it's less fun on those long winter evenings. So if you look here with me, let's start from the very beginning. There are a couple of psukim which we need to review in order to see how this works. Number one. Says the Gemara, it's the Chumash in Vayikra, V'haisa Shabbos Ha'aretz. As we know, Shemitah is going to be a Shabbat for the land. Lachem, it's for you la'ochla, and for you to eat as well. The produce will be for you to eat. Shemitah produce is there to be eaten. We looked at this at length last year. Shemitah produce, there may even be a mitzvah to eat Shemitah produce, according to the Ramban. It's there to eat. Not just for you, but lacha, ula avdecha, ula matecha, ula schircha, ula toshavcha, hagarim imach. All the people who are ancillary to us, not just us, but also our servants and our household, people we hire to work for us, even non-Jews, the toshavim that live around us, that are connected with us, when we had such a thing as ger toshav, should be eating Shemitah with us. And also for our domesticated animals, and also for the wild animals, There's a great equalizing aspect to Shemitah. We are meant to be understanding that we don't own what we think we own. We only just look after it for the short time that we're here. Certainly not the land. The land belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the land belongs to Klal Yisrael for future generations as well as for now. Therefore, we are just custodians of that for now. And this whole process helps us to understand that. There's a beautiful idea I think I've mentioned before. Rabbi Liebtag brings this idea out. Is just like the Jewish people ate from the man, which was a great equalizer. No matter how much you collected, you always had the same amount. People who went for more and people who went for less, they always had the same. And they needed to do that in order to get to Har Sinai. That the Torah was only given, say Chazal, to the Ochlei Man. There has to be this social justice element before we can get the Torah. So too, Shemitah is the same idea that everybody gets what they need, nobody gets more, nobody owns more, nobody hoards more, and that brings us to a Kabbalah Satorah, which Hakel that we had last Sukkot, etc., etc. So this is a universal idea, whether or not we live in Israel, these ideas of equality for us, for the wild animals. That's one pasuk. A second pasuk, number two, talks about Yovel, but Yovel and Shemitah are interlinked intrinsically. Number two, Ki Yovel Hi, this will be Yovel for you, the 50th Yovel year. Kodesh Tielachem, it's a special year of Kedusha. Min Hasadeh Tochlu et Tvuata. You have to eat the food from the field. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go out and sit on the grass and have a picnic every day and just pick the food from the field. I mean, you can. It doesn't need to have trumas and masvas taken from it. It's shvita produce. But we'll see what it means right now. And Chazal make two droshas, two limudim, and we'll see what the status of them is in a few minutes, on these two psukim. Let's have a look at number three. First of all, the pasuk about Shemitah. Ulebemtecha ulechaya. Ulehetcha ulechaya. For the domesticated animals and for the wild animals. What's that telling me? Meaning, if it's already for the domesticated animals, I know it's for the wild animals. I don't control the wild animals. The wild animals roam around the world taking whatever they want. They're not under my jurisdiction. So what's it telling me? I don't give them food. Says the Gemara, or it's a Sifra actually, it's quoted in Pesachim in the Gemara, Makish Behem Alechaya. This is connecting your domesticated animals with the wild animals in the field. All the time that the wild animals can find this food in the fields, then your domesticated animals can eat in your house. You've obviously stored food for them. They can eat that food as long as the wild animals can. But as soon as it's finished for the wild animals out there, that has to be finished for you and your animals in the house. We and our animals can only eat as long as the food is accessible out there in the wild. Similarly, number four, the Yerushalmi learns, Ksiv says, Minas Sade Tochlu Et Tuata, you have to eat from the fields. It doesn't mean literally. It means Kol Zman Sha'atochel Minas Sade, all the time that you could go out into the field and pick another one of these or those. You can eat what you've got in your house. But as soon as it's finished in the fields, then you have to get rid. We'll see what that means. It has to be finished from your house. Why do we need to learn the same thing from two different psukim? So Chazal talk about that. And actually they learn, there's in fact a Mishnah that says, what if you pickle food which gets to its sell-by date, let's call it a sell-by date halachically, together with food which does not. We'll talk a little bit about this later. Which can you eat? Can you eat both? Can you eat neither? Does the taste transfer from one to the other? This you need this extra pasuk to teach you not just about the food, but even the taste from the food. The idea of tam, no same tam. Food gives off taste to other food. What is the status of this food that we have to get rid of? So let's have a look at that now. Go over to page 2. First of all, let's understand, is this a Torah mitzvah? Or is this a rabbinic mitzvah? Well, it's learned from a pasuk. It sounds like it should be a Torah mitzvah. Generally, when there's a verse and there's a limud, a drasha from the pasuk, it's a Torah mitzvah. However, the Ramban jumps in and says, I don't agree. Some do say it's a Torah mitzvah. Rashi indicates it is indeed a Torah mitzvah. Look at the Ramban. And here I'm going to bring you one of a number of sources on the sheet from the Ramban on the Chumash. Remember, the Ramban's commentary on Chumash is a multi-purpose commentary. He gives us an introduction to the Chumash, the Ramban, and he says, I'm bringing you this commentary for many different reasons, to learn Pshat, to learn Drash, to learn Sod, to learn Kabbalistic ideas, to learn Halacha, to learn Musa, to learn Machshava. It's a potpourri of many, many different things. This is why we're learning the Ramban on the Chumash is so, you know, enriching, because it has all these ideas. Rashi, tantalizingly, never gives us an introduction to his Perush on the Chumash. So we have to work out from his comments here and there, what is he trying to get us to take from his commentary? Is it just Pshat? Is it Drash? Is it somewhere in between? As you know, Pshat and Drash are not binary. It's not one or the other. You can have Drashy Pshat, and you can have Pshati Drash, like on that line. Nechama Leibovitz, I think he was heard of famously, said the difference between Pshat and Drash is, Pshat is what I say, Drash is what you say. Okay? Yeah? Sometimes people say that. But Rashi, we have to work out what are we trying to get. But the Ramban gives us halacha, and on this pasuk, there are pages and pages of Ramban, which are really worth, I recommend it, on Shemitah and Biurim as well. So look what he says in number 5. The Esher, it could be, he says, Sheha Isar Hazem Midivreyenu. This is this prohibition of eating the food after its sell by date halachically. In Shemitah is a rabbinic one, midivreihem. V'ulai afilu habiur kula chomei midivrei sefer. Even maybe the mitzvah of getting rid of it, that may also be rabbinic. V'habraisas hashnuyas b'tayrus kohenim, and the braisas that we just read, learning these from the psukim be'inyan habiur about biur, which is this mitzvah of getting rid of this food, asmachta midrabana. It's an asmachta. Maybe I'll just speak for a minute about this word, because it comes up a lot in our shiurim and in other shiurim. What is an asmachta? So whenever you have a verse and a halacha, we always have to work out which is learning in which direction. Do we start with the verse and then learn out the halacha? From this verse, Chazal used the principles of interpretation. For example, Rabbi Yishmael's Yud Gimel, his 13 favorites. Others, the Malbim lists 613 rules of interpretation. He obviously tried hard to get to that number, but you know, he many rules of interpretations. Do we have what might be called exegesis, and we learn it out, start with the pasuk and reach the halacha? Or do we start with the halacha? We know what the halacha is. How do we know? Either maybe it's a halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, we have it as a tradition, or maybe the rabbis created the halacha. But then, having created the halacha using their authority as legislators, then they want to learn the halacha back in. I think technically this is called esegesis, although I've never used the word in conversation. Do they learn it back in? Meaning, we know the halacha, but we want to try and find a hint in the pasuk. That's called an asmachta. And there's a major, meaning lismach, to lean on. We're not learning it from the pasuk, we're connecting it back to the pasuk to show you how all of the Torah is connected, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. And there's a major discussion in the Mefoit Rishonim as to how strong is an asmachta. The Rambam seems to say that an asmachta is just a hint, maybe. It's a device to connect in. And maybe that sometimes the asmachta is called an asmachta ba'alma, a mere asmachta. However, the Ritva says, I'm not getting into all, I think it's on Rosh Hashanah, the Ritva says no. In fact, it is on Rosh Hashanah, because it's where it says the idea that Shofros, Zichronos, and Malchus are learned from the Pasuk. Oh, it's an Asmachta. He says, don't think that it's just a hint or a device. It's actually put in there by God into the Pesukim, but the rabbis have the choices to whether they want to connect or not. It's up to them. They can make that connection or not make the connection. So the idea of an asmachta usually refers to a rabbinic law, but there's a debate as to whether that's really rooted in some way in the pasuk or just connected. Sometimes you have very far-fetched, in the English sense of far-fetched, not the Yiddish sounding far-fetched, which is not a word at all, but you have very far, it's about like bedridden, it also sounds like it should be a Yiddish word. You have connections which seem like slightly sort of forced. And when you see that, you're almost always dealing with an asmachta. Meaning when the rabbis learn halacha out through logical rules of interpretation, they don't just, you know, use far-fetched hints. I'll give you an example. Pre-Eitz Hadar for Sukkot, they knew that this was an Esrog. This is learnt out as a halacha l'Moshe Sinai. Then no one ever thought it was a kumquat or a banana or an apple. It's an esrog. Everybody knows there's no debate. But the Rambam says there's never a debate on halacha l'Moshe Sinai. It's clear all the way through. And yet Chazal have these very interesting connections to the word hadar. Also, maybe it means not just hadar, beautiful, but hadar, meaning lives on the tree. You have to find a fruit that never wants to come off the tree. And an esrog will not fall off a tree if you look after it nicely. It'll stay on year after year after year after year. Hence you get these jumbo esrogim. Or maybe, say Chazal, hadar is from the Greek word hydro, as in hydrogen or hydroelectric. Because you need to find a plant that needs lots of hydro to water to grow. So what's going on here, Chazal? The Torah is speaking in Greek. Greek came a long time after the Torah was given. No, Chazal are just using devices there because they know the halacha, they're connecting it back in. That's definitely this idea of Ras Machta. There's much, much to be said about this, but I just thought I'd use this opportunity to say a few words. So maybe it's the Ramban, it's the Rabbanon. Maybe eating it's the Rabbanon, even though destroying it is the rice, so maybe both are the Rabbanon. Now, let's go on. When is this to be done? So the Mishnah jumps in number 6 and says as follows. Shalosh Ha'atzas Libya. There are three lands, subdivisions within Eretz Yisrael for the mitzvah of Biur. When do you have to get rid of this produce? Yehuda, which is where we are now, Eva HaYarden, which is Transjordan, literally, and the Galil, and up in the north, three different lands. V'shalosh, shalosh adzas l'kol echad v'hem. And there are three subdivisions in each of those areas, meaning we divide up the land of Israel into kind of counties, I would call them in England, or states, whatever you want to say. The Lama Amr Shalosh Atzas, says the Mishnah, why do we do this? Meaning, wherever is the latest that grapes, olives, dates, figs, whatever, are in that particular land, I can eat those that food up until that date. But I can't look at the Galil and then decide what to eat in Yehuda or in Transjordan. I have to look within that area and say wherever things are growing, or whatever time things grow up until. Obviously, things grow at different times of the year, in the north, in the south, in the cooler, in the warmer areas. And then it says, V'kola, asos ka'achad, lezeitim ulatamarim. And everywhere is the same for olives and for dates. And we'll see what that means in a minute. Now, the Gemara picks up on that. Number 7. Tan Rabbanan. Let's look at this Gemara in Psachim. Oichlim ba'anavim adri chalu dalios shel ochel. So Ochel is a place here, according to most of the Mephoroshim. We can eat grapes until the last dalia, the last sort of weak grapes hanging onto the vine, are finished in this area. That's the end after that. V'imyesh mucharet mehem. But if you find grapes that are still hanging on later than that, then Ochelim aleim, then you can rely on them, and you can extend the date a little bit. Ochelim bezeisim ad shechale achron shebetikoa. I just drove through there this morning. Getting into town on through the tunnels at the moment seems to be a rather long exercise. So just popped around Tekoa, and the olives from Tekoa were amazing. I'm sure they still are. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, no, Achikale Achron Shel Gush Chalav. Somewhere else where the olives are grown, once the last olives are on the trees. And if you look at an olive tree now, you'll see the last remnants of the olives. Even though the olive harvest happened long ago, back in Cheshvan, nevertheless, the olives are hanging on till now, in some trees. And with olives, it has to be that the time is over when a poor person goes out to grab some of the last olives, and he can't find either in the branches or in the bottom area, on the floor, at least a rova, some element that's around 12 olives. Once he can't find even that, it's all over. Ochlim begrogris, this is dried figs. You can eat dried figs. Achi chalupagi bebeit hini, that's another place until they finished over there. Ochlim betamarim, achi chali ha'achron shebet soar. And soar is a place of dates. You can eat dates until then. That's one approach. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, ochlim al shem bein ha'kipim, vein ochlim shel bein ha'shitzin. I'm not getting into all that. You can't go for the stuff that's right in the thorns. That's not really edible for anyone. We don't count that. Veruminhu, the Gemara then brings a contradiction. Says, one second. Do we go by location geographically, or do we just go by date? Let's just fix a date. And it's chulin to this, we fix a date. Ochlim ba'anavim ad Pesach. No, we can eat grapes until Pesach. I don't care what's growing anywhere else. Pesach is the date. Bezeitim ad atzeret. You can eat olives until Atzeret until Shavuos. And again, this is the olives that you have in the house. The grapes that you have in the house, you can eat them until these times, because then they've gone from the trees. But grogerus, when it comes to figs, ad Chanukah, only till Chanukah, but tamarin for dates, ad ha-Purim. And you see, this is right now. Purim, Pesach, Shavuos of the 8th year. The Amar Rav Bibi, Rabbi Yochanan, Tarti Bas Raisa, Machlef, he just switches the last two Chanukah and Purim. I'm not getting into that now. So how do we put these two together? Is it location or is it date? What do we use? So two answers. Maybe they're the same thing. Maybe the last grapes are gone from this area, Dafka, just at Pesach time. So maybe it's the same. Or the Ibois Ema, or maybe you could say Harikatana Behedia, because according to one of these, the first one, Im Yeshma Achorot Mehem, Ochlin Alehem. According to the geography approach, you can go by the last hanger-oners, if you like, whereas according to the date approach, the date is the date is the date, and once that date is gone, then it's finished. Yes?
We'll get there.
The Chazon Ish number 8 says, just to be clear, this has got nothing to do with the harvest. The grape harvest, if you remember, was last year in July, August, September. The olive harvest just before Chanukah was in Chanukah. This is to do with when the last remnants are left on the trees, and we can assume once they've gone that the animals in the wild, whatever they put aside in their little cubby holes back under the ground, that's all finished for them as well. That's what it's going with, the last remnants there. So too, obviously, if we have them in our private yards, in our houses, we have to get rid of them at that stage. Go to page 3.
So there's a date approach, and what's the
geography approach. And we'll see, we Paskin like the date approach, that there is a fixed date, and if you see on the top of page 3, I've written down the final halacha. Figs are till Chanukah, we've passed that. Dates are till Purim, we've passed that. Grapes and wine and grape juice are till Pesach, and olives and olive oil are till Shavuos. Yes, sir?
Until the first day of Chanukah?
Yes, and as far as I'm aware, it's till the beginning of Chanukah. As far as I'm aware, yes. If you look here at the back, I brought you an appendix. I didn't make this up. This is from the Machon HaTorah V'Haaretz, which has a piece in Torah Tidbits on a regular basis on Shemitah. And I brought you their chart. I just put it in a kind of nice little table there. All the different zmanim for fruits. For example, some of my students came up to me yesterday afternoon and says, we've had a whole bunch of Kedusha Shvi'as pecans hanging around our dorm, and now they're clearing out for Pesach. What shall we do with them? Can we eat them? Should we give them away, etc.? I said, wait. Let's check, when is the Zman beer for pecans? Maybe we've already missed the boat. Maybe it's too late. And I checked here on pecans, and it says pecans are mid-May, the 1st of Sivan. Oh, we're in time. We can do something with the pecans. What exactly I'm proposing to do with 3 entire boxes full of pecans, I'm not sure, between now and the beginning of May. But I said, give them to me. I'll worry about it. And the answer is, give them away. That's the point. The whole point of beer is it's encouraging us to share it with everybody else. And this is actually a very important point, which I want to... No, they didn't just be giving it to me. They've just given me Kedusha Shvi'as fruit. It has to be made hefka. We'll see what we actually do in a minute. And the point here is it has to be really given away. That's what's really going on. Think about it in the following way. Compare it to the mitzvah of notar for kodshim. I heard this comparison made. For example, with kodshim, you can't eat after a certain time. Usually it's the next morning. Okay? Think about the Korban Todah. The Korban Todah you brought, you had a very minimal amount of time to eat it, even though you have to bring it with 40 loaves. You're doing it with 40 loaves of bread, 30 of them matzah and 10 of them chametz. How on earth am I going to eat all this meat and all this bread, and my sell-by date is tonight? I've got this afternoon and tonight to bring it. And the answer is, have a party. Share it with your friends. And the whole point is, if I'm saying thank you to God, I need to do that publicly. So too, the Shemitah, the point is not getting rid of it. The point is not destroying it. The point is giving it away to everybody so that they can enjoy it too, before the Zman beer. So if anybody wants any pecans, then I'm more than happy to share them around. I should have actually brought them with. But I promise you, it's a pretty thankless task. Next week, Itamar, you're welcome to take the entire thing. Yes, coming later.
But yeah, because citrus fruit. My tree. between, like in August, I see a lemon. I can't use that lemon?
No, you can until Tishrei. Correct. That's that. Absolutely. And even after the Zman Beer, we'll see, it still has Kedusha Shvias. Whatever is hanging onto the tree after the Zman Beer passes, we're not worried about. That's like the last retainers. But citrus fruits, I've got grapefruits on my tree, and they're not going anywhere at the moment.
But the lemons start to blossom.
That this is the new lemons for the, and this is an interesting thing. There are some trees which have the last year's fruit, like etrogim, still there when the next year's fruit are growing. Did they have a Zman Beer, or the fruit is never gone from the tree? Because by the time the old ones are finishing, the new ones are already there. There's a whole discussion on that, which I didn't want to get into all of that detail. But yes, lemons are, we've got a little bit of time for citrus fruit yet. So which products does it belong to? Let's go to number to page three. C on page three. So you can look at the calendar later, and you can think about what fruit you have in the house. So in principle, Biur applies to everything that has Kedushas Shvias. This includes seeds and peels if they're edible. Obviously, citrus peels are edible. I'm partial to chocolate-covered orange peels, if anyone wants to buy me a gift at a time. Although at the moment I'm not meant to be eating them because I'm on a diet. That's a different question. Produce which is not edible or barely edible, that doesn't have the Kedusha Shvias, doesn't have an issue of biur. And this is very important, even after you do the biur, we'll see what you have to do in a minute, it doesn't take away the Kedusha. It remains Kaddish. You could have this grape juice or this wine in your house for another 5-6 years, and it still remains Kaddish. It doesn't take away the Kedusha. It just enables you to keep it. And like I said, it doesn't apply to the fruit that's hanging on to the trees. That stays. That's fine even after the Zman Biur. What about fruit grown on land owned by non-Jews? Now, taking you back into these Shemitah ideas, you may as well learn them again now. It's not going to be Shemitah again till 2029, not trying to rush the time away. But remember, we had a big debate. There's a major machlokas between the Beis Yosef and the Mabit. The Beis Yosef says that land owned by non-Jews in Israel, the fruit that grows from that does not have Kedusha Shvias. And that is the position that Yerushalayim relies upon, and the Eidah Haredis, that fruit grown by non-Jews, Arabs, or whoever in Eretz Israel, does not have Kedusha. The Mabit, land owned by non-Jews. Land. Owned by non-Jew. Correct. I'm not talking about fruit which is from Jordan or somewhere else. Church land, Arab land, etc. The Mabit takes the view that the fruit, that land owned by a non-Jew in Israel, does not remove its Shemitah status. And it remains Kedusha Shvias. And that is the minhag of Bnei Brak, where they are much more machmir on fruit that grows. I'm not talking about Hetzer Mechira. We'll get to that in a minute. On fruit that grows on land by a non-Jew, they say it still has Kedusha Shvias. So obviously, according to the view that said it never had Kedusha Shvias, there's no problem with this, because it never had Kedusha Shvias. But even according to the view that says it does have Kedusha Shvias, the Bnei Brak view, many people are still makel, because they say the non-Jew never has to get rid of it. He's not Jewish. He doesn't have this mitzvah. So if it's his fruit and it's his land, I don't care whether it went past the Zman Biur, he never was part of this mitzvah. However, the Chazon Ish is machmir. Chazon Ish is machmir on quite a few of these biur issues, and he holds that that fruit does require biur, and therefore, according to him, you can ask your own poskim which way to go. I suspect most people are lenient on this, because they go with the Beis Yosef anyway, certainly in Yerushalayim, that if you get fruit from a non-Jew that he grew on his land, do you or do you not have to do biur? You could always do biur when you get it. We'll see how you do biur. You don't have to do biur on the day before Pesach. You can do it later if you end up with that produce, but you might have to do it according to the Chazon Ish, not according to others. What about Hetzer Mechira? Well, obviously, if you hold that the Hetzer Mechira works, then it's fine. It doesn't have Kedusha Shvias. According to the Chazon Ish, for sure it wouldn't work, because even if you sell the land to a non-Jew, it won't help, because the non-Jew's land is still subject to Shemitah. So if you hold by the Hetzer Mechira, it doesn't require biur. If you do not hold by the Hetzer Mechira, then it might require biur. And the interesting question, of course, which I get to at the end, is what if you don't specifically hold by the Hetzer Mechira, but someone gives you a gift which is under Hetzer Mechira, and that'll be most of the wine? Meaning, two Shemitahs ago, Rav Weitzman, who is the head of Alan Shvut, persuaded many of the wineries to do their wine as an Eitzah Beistin, which we'll get to in a minute. And many of them did, and many of them unfortunately lost a lot of money, which Rav Weitzman was very upset about. Why? He was hoping that Eitzah Beistin, people will buy it. People don't buy Hetzer Mechira, maybe, some people do, but Eitzah Beistin they'll buy. Didn't happen. because the people who don't hold by a Hetzer Mechira didn't really get Otzer Beis Din, because they said, I don't really know what that is, and I'm not getting involved. Many people make Shemitah and Kashrus decisions based on like herd mentality. I don't blame them, it's complicated. And they say, oh, we don't do that. Why don't you do that? I don't know, we just don't do that. So many people that I see make that kind of sort of decision. So they didn't buy the Otzer Beis Din stuff. And the people that relied on the Hetzer Mechira didn't need to buy the Otzer Beis Din stuff. They just bought the Hetzer Mechira stuff, so they lost a load of money. So now this Shemitah, very, very, very few wineries did Otzer Beis Din wine. So almost all the wine coming out of those classic, you know, wineries in Israel for 2022 will be Hetzer Mechira wine. So you're going to have to work out, if you hold by the Hetzer Mechira, it's great. But if you don't, what are you going to do with it? We'll see that at the end of the shiur. One of my friends in Allenshvud brought me a bottle of Otzer Beis Din wine, okay, which he gave me on Purim. It's not really sensible to drink red wine that's dated this year. It needs laying down for a few years in order to be drinkable. I did try and drink it on Purim. It needs a few more years, okay? We'll have to work out what's going on with that wine. But Otzer Beis Din we'll get to right now.
In our store, they prefer bring us on a theme from
Chutzlaret. What's that? In what?
It says on the back.
Ah, Chutzlaret. You get a lot of white. Yeah, Chutzlaret, exactly. Have a look at number 9. Let's refresh our memories on Otzer Beis Din. How does that work? Because there's lots of Otzer Beis Din produce, which also comes to this man beer. Again, Ramban on the Chumash. Number 9. The rabbis made lots of important institutions with Shemitah. And here's the Otzer Beis Din. Berishayna, originally says the Ramban, the Beis Din would make a storehouse belonging to the Beit Din in every city. When the fruit started to come out, they would take the fruit of people, the farmers that were coming in, and would say, thank you, we'll take that, we'll buy that for the Otzer, that can be the Otzer based in. And when the time for the harvest came in every different species, the summertime kind, the Esa Batzer, or the time for the olive harvest, for the grape harvest, based in Soichrin Polim, the Beis Din would hire workers who worked for the Beis Din. Ubaitzrin, they would do the grape harvest. Umoiskin, and they would do the olive harvest. Veloitin kol Oisahamin, and they would collect all the crops. Vedorchin, they would tread the grapes. Umoiskin, they would prepare. They would do all the preparation, make the wine, make the oil. Begat, uba beit habad, in the wineries and in the olive presses, kederich sharashim, just like you normally do. But they weren't the owners, that's the point. They were the Beis Din. The owners are not allowed to do this because you're not allowed to express ownership over your Shemitah. You can eat it, but you don't own it. You're not the Baal, but the Otzer Beis Din, they can take it in on behalf of everyone. The Noisdin la Otzer Shalahem, and then they will put it in their stores. The Elu HaPeiros, and here's our key line, these fruits that the Otzer Beis Din brought in, HaMuchanasim la Otzer Beis Din, Einon Tzrichin Biur. They do not have a problem with Biur. Why? Because the whole point of Biur is to get it out of my ownership. The Otzer Beis Din has already done that. They're not an individual to have a problem with Biur. So any produce that you buy from Otzer Beis Din after the Zman Biur does not require Biur. Okay, so if I buy a bottle of Otzer Beis Din wine after Pesach from an Otzer Beis Din, no problem. I don't have to do anything with it. But if you buy something from the Otzer Beis Din before the Zman Biur, you buy apples from Otzer Beis Din or grapes or whatever it is, so now I own them. And then if they reach this man beer, now I have to deal with them with beer because they've come back into my ownership and therefore I have to make sure that I deal with it. But it's quite clear, and everybody agrees with this, you don't have to worry about Otzer based in produce if you buy it from the Otzer after this man. Okay? Which will again be good for wine. If you want to buy Otzer based in wine after Pesach, you don't have to do anything with that. But if you buy it before Pesach, then you will have to do something with it on Pesach. We'll see what that is right now. Yeah.
How would that work today? Because the Beit Din today doesn't own all the equipment
that they have to... No, but it hires it out. It rents people. It hires people to do all that for them. You're right. They don't own the equipment now. But what they do is they pay the producers to work on their behalf. You are not now... You don't own the wine and you're not producing it for yourselves. You're working for us. And you're just getting, you know, the costs of the labor rather than profit from it. I have an interesting shaila which I haven't worked out yet, which I need to ask Rav Rimon, which is, I signed an Otzer Beis Din agreement for my fruit so that I could harvest it, store it, and then give it out to neighbors. Does that mean I'm the Otsa Beis Din? So I don't have to do beer because it's all the Otsa Beis Din stuff? Because I am the Otsa Beis Din? Or am I not really an Otsa Beis Din? I'm just a guy who signed an agreement with the Beis Din, but it's really my stuff. I need to get to the bottom of that. I'll work that out before Pesach. Okay. Oh, yeah, because you're also... Right. I meant to ask for every month. I asked him three things. I didn't remember to ask him the fourth thing.
So if you don't use Hetem Mechira now, a lot of everything, most of the things aren't Otsa Beis Din anymore.
Correct.
I can go
certainly no vegetables.
Most things, but not lemon.
Correct. Kedusha Shvi'is money, we try to avoid. Because we don't want money with Kedusha Shvi'is, because then it gets mixed up. But don't forget, in theory, if you buy Shemitah produce with money, the money gets Kedusha Shvi'is. And then that money needs to be destroyed at the Zman Bir. So you need to look at the money. I mean, again, we don't do this because it's just like a big headache. But you have to have a little pile of, well, that's grape money, and that's fig money, and that's olive money. And then, of course, if you buy food with your Otsa Beis Din, with your Kedusha Shvi'is money, then the food gets the same Kedusha as well. So then you'd have, that's rice which was bought with money, which was used for grapes. So that rice has to be destroyed at the grape beer. And this rice was... You can see we don't want to go there. And that's why we don't do this.
The money's out.
The money is out, correct. The original produce always recreates with Kedusha Shvi'is, but when the last one in the chain takes on the Kedusha Shvi'is, correct. Now, so don't worry about the money. I'm sure it's not an issue. How do we do beer? What do we do? Interesting machlokas. Ramban, number 10. What does the Ramban say? The kiloi hazeh, this destruction, this getting rid of the produce, lo peirush harav Rashi mahu. The Rashi doesn't explain what you have to do on the Pesukim there. He just says you have to do it. I'll tell you what you have to do, he says. The inyanu, what you have to do is as follows. Sheichali haperes achazman mi beito lahafkiran. It's not that you have to destroy it. On the contrary, you shouldn't destroy it because it's got Kedusha. You shouldn't be destroying Kedusha Shvi'is. You have to get it out of your ownership. Vehu bir shvi'is, this is bir shvi'is, sheizkiru chachamim b'chol makom, that they mention in all these places. Get it out of your ownership. It's not like you can't get benefit from this fruit. It's not like chometz after the beer chometz. It's not like you can't enjoy it. That's not true. Uba'achila, or that you can't eat it. The emchayv la'abdam, or you have to destroy it. No. The lamon chacham in the Mishnah, peiros hashvi'is, lamin anisrafim, at the end of Tzmura, when it lists all the things that have to be burnt or have to be buried, like geniza, it doesn't list peiros shvi'is as things that are nisrafim, v'lamin anikbarim, all things that need to be buried. The eino eleshehu tzarech leva'aram mirushusa, you just have to get them out of your ownership, u'lahavkirim la'aniyim u'lachal adam, and you have to give them to other people. The Rambam actually holds that you have to destroy them physically. Look in number 11. The Rambam says, "V'hayu peiros merubim." If you have lots of fruit, when this man comes, "Machal kan mazon shalosh shudus lechol echad v'echad." Give out 3 meals worth of the fruit to everyone. If you have less than 3 meals worth, and I'm not getting into the amounts, but I've referred you to some sources there, you don't have to destroy them because that's just food for now. Just one second. The osel echol achad beer. You can't eat them after the beer. Bein lanim, bein lashim. No one can eat them afterwards. Ve'im loy matza oichlin. If you don't find anyone to give them to, b'shas beer, soref be'esh. You have to burn them. Or mashlich le'yam ha'melach. Trip to the Dead Sea. Take them down to the Dead Sea. Throw them in the Dead Sea while there's still some Dead Sea left to throw them in. Okay. Uma'ad lechol dal shemavod. Or destroy them. Really? You have to destroy Kedusha Shvi'is? So again, Rav Rimon says no. The point of the Rambam is I don't really want to destroy them, but he's telling me make sure you share them. Give them out to all your neighbors and make sure you share them. If not, you'll have to destroy them. We Paskin like the Rambam, not like the Rambam, and therefore the way that we make Kedusha Shvi'is gone is we take it out. We'll see what we do in practice in a minute. We declare it Hefka. We get some people there, we'll talk about them as well, and then we can take it back in the house. We do not have to destroy it. Yes?
But you say that for a meal, so if you have wine, you can save the Seder?
Enough for 3 meals for now. How long can you keep it? If you only have enough that you would be enough for 3 meals, you can keep it. You don't have to destroy it. But a bottle of wine, I don't know how much wine you get through in one meal, but a bottle of wine is probably more than it's worth for 3 meals. Maybe not. There's a big debate, by the way.
7 glasses
for bottle. When I was in England, we used to reckon on 6 because we drink a bit more wine. When I was a lawyer, we used to cater for client lunches. We catered 1 bottle of wine per person.
Oh my God.
That's how it works.
I have people who are Europeans, and they drink every meal an entire bottle.
Right, right. So it's a good question. So the question is it go by you, or does it go by the average person? Does it go by how much you drink with other food? So you're saying a bottle of wine is definitely less than three meals. Okay, so then it wouldn't require beer. If you have eight bottles of wine, then you know it would require beer. Whatever it is for three. No, for one person. You know, and if you own the wine, then that's your wine. You could give a bottle to five different people and say, each of you now have less than three meals worth, but you can't say, I'm keeping all of that because I'm going to give it to my friends, because that belongs to you. That's not owned individually. What do we do in practice? Okay, let's see this. I don't know if I've never done this yet. I'm very excited. Erev Pesach, in Alon Shvut, we're all going to go outside. We're going to do this. Number 12, Mi sheyesh lo peiros shvias. If you have kedusha shvias, fruit or food, produce, the Higiyah Shatabiyah, says the Tosefta, and the Shatabiyah comes, Machalek Mehen Lishchenav, again, this is the key, give them to your friends, give them to your neighbors, Ula Kroiva, give them to your relatives, Ula Yoida, give them to your acquaintances, Umoitzi Umanich Albesoy, and then whatever you've got left, bring out, put it by the house and say, and this is what people say, Acheinu Beis Yisrael, my brothers, the Jewish people, Kol Mishitzarech Little, Yavovit. Anyone who wants, come and take. It's here for you. And then you wait a few minutes. V'chayzer, and then umachnis letoich beis, and then you can, whatever they didn't take, you can bring back to the house. V'oichel v'hoylech ad shah shukala. And then you can eat it to your heart's content. There's no more sell by date. Take it out, declare it shvias, declare it hefka. Anyone who wants it can take it.
And stand there with a big stick?
No, don't stand there with a big stick. You don't have to beat people away from it. You have to be, you know, full-heartedly say, if you want, you want. Don't forget, you can go up the road and take other people's as well. So it's like one big bonanza, you know? You give yours out, they give theirs out, etc. You wait for a few minutes, and then you bring it back in.
So when you bring it back in, it's not Kaddish anymore, so you don't have to...
It is Kaddish. It is still Kaddish. It doesn't change the Kedusha at all. All it does is enable you to continue eating it past the Zman. It does not change the Kedusha. I spoke to Rav Rimon, he said a few minutes. A few minutes. Do you need people there to make it Hefka? So the minhag is, according to some, you need to have three people there. What are they for, those people? They are two of them to witness, the third one taking it. I'm taking this from Hefka, and you're going to be my Edim. According to this, do they need to be men, or can they be women? So according to this, two of them need to be kosher Edim, and the third one doesn't. The third one can be a woman, and the two can be men to be kosher Edim. Or even if you have three men, one of them could be a child, and two of them could be adults. According to the Gra, if you're doing this outside, mi'ika hadin, you don't need three people. The fact that you've taken it all outside, and you've announced to the public, anyone who wants, kol dichvin yetziv yechel, you know, whatever. So you don't need the three people, and if you don't really need the three people, then there can be any people. So Rav Rimon, I asked him, can you get three women to, like, you know, he says, look, if you don't need them, really, you can get whoever you like. But, Shasatrak, right, you know? But inside the house, you have to have three men. If inside the house, because you have to have kosher Edim. Yes, or two men at least. Yes.
So, for example, I cannot use my son-in-law because he's not kosher Edim for me, correct?
So, yes, correct. Krovim, who are not kosher Edim, if you're going to take it back, correct. Although for some things you can, like on a Hataras Nadorim, you can have, you know, it's not like a real based in. Yes. How does Hetta Mechira fit?
On wine.
Okay, so we'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that right at the end, yeah. I don't think you have to stop on the end. Like, come on, look, I'm going to do beer here. Let's do it together. I don't think you need to say, Atem Edai, you know, that kind of, you're not getting married under the chuppah here. No, the guy who takes the wine takes the wine. Can do what they like with it. Yeah, you can do what you like with it. As long as it's, again, according to the Gra, once you do this outside, you don't really need the three people at all because you're outside doing it all publicly. But I think people come. Again, it's a nice opportunity. Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach seems to be a time that things happen. Remember, we did the Birkas Hachama a few years ago on Erev Pesach. That just kind of fell out on Erev Pesach. What, Birkas Achama? Right, it doesn't always fall out Erev Pesach, absolutely. And we're not got another Birkas Achama for a few years yet. I'm keeping the shear on ice so that when we get to Birkas Achama in 2040, something like that, and then we can do that. The Zman Biur, you can't do the Zman Biur earlier because then you just took it back in your house before the Zman and then you own it again. You have to do it at the Zman. Okay, fine. Now, let's. You could take it back in the house with intention not to be kind of it again. Okay, you could do that. But just if you just put it out and take it back, then you get the same problem when you get to the Zman.
You can give it away before.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go on. Page number eight. Five, sorry. Page number five, excuse me. No, not page number eight. Number five. Source number 13. What if you missed the Zman? And this is the interesting question. Also, you asked a question about Hetzer Mechira. So here's an interesting Gemara. It's at the end of the ninth Perek HaShviis in the Yerushalmi. Quite a salutary tale. Look at this Gemara, number 13. Chad Bar Nash, says the Yerushalmi, there was this fellow, have a choshid ala Shemitah, and he didn't keep Shemitah properly. We'll see why in a minute. Amal Issei, and then he said to his wife, Afkin Chalsa, make sure you take challah from the bread. Don't forget. He nags his wife about taking challah. So she, like a good wife, turns around to him. Amralei, she says to him, Ah, ahu gavra chashid ala shmita, that ama afkin chalsa. You're telling me, you who don't even care, take care about shmita, you're nagging me to do the challah. First work on your own chumras, or your own frumkeit, I should say, and then you start nagging me about mine. So he said to his wife, he had an answer. He said, Amrela, he said to her, no, excuse me, chalsa mitvar Torah. Challah is a Torah mitzvah. Shvius midrabanon. Shvius is a rabbinic mitzvah, mirabban Gamliel. Okay, Shvius is midrabban Gamliel, the chavera. Shvius is midrabanon from the rabbis. I'm bothered about Torah mitzvahs. I'm not so bothered about drabanons. So you better deal with the challah and don't tell me to deal with my Shemitah stuff. Now, of course, this makes it even worse. Because it's one thing not to be bothered about anything. If you have the Rabbeinu Yonah talks about this. If you have Yetzer Haras, you don't keep halacha, you sometimes do, you sometimes don't. What can I do? I can't help it. I like it. It's tasty. I can't resist. That's understandable. It's an Aveira. You have to do tshuva. But that's like, you know, everybody has taivas. But that you only keep the Raisas and that you don't keep the Rabbanans, that's worse. That's a fundamental lack of connection to emunah and to mitzvahs and to rabbanon.
I had a guy who wore his tzitzis out, didn't wear his yarmulke.
Okay. Interesting. Because he's holding tzitzis as a mitzvah, d'oraisa, and yarmulke as a minhag, whatever. It's interesting. And was he did that at work? He did that at work, so he didn't want to look too Jewish by wearing a yarmulke, so he wore his tzitzis out? I had a conversation once with a fellow. I can't resist telling you this. When I was a lawyer, I used to wear my kippah at work, and I never had any problems. The truth is, my friends who had problems at work wearing a kippah were the ones who worked for Jewish firms. Right. Okay? Because they said things to them like, our clients don't want to feel like it's Yom Kippur every day, you know, kind of thing. But my employers who were completely non-Jewish, I was one of the only, there was one other from Jew in the firm, they were completely fine with it. So a friend of mine who worked in a practice which was quite Jewish, he said, I don't wear my kippah at work. I said, okay, you know, so that's fine. Lots of people don't wear the kippah at work. I said, so I'm just interested. What do you do when you eat? He goes, no, of course. And, you know, I shut myself in a room and I put my kippah on. And I eat, and nobody sees me, so that's not a problem. I said, okay, I get that, fine, not criticizing. What do you do when you go to the bathroom afterwards about making Asher Yatzar? He's a very frum guy. So he says, I put something on my head. I put my hand on my head. I said, well, you put your hand on your head? That doesn't work, lehalacha. He goes, no, chas v'shalom. He was alarmed on this fellow. He says, I put my sleeve like this, and I put my sleeve on my head like this. So, I says, one second, let's just do a reality check here. You don't want to look strange to your colleagues, so you don't wear a little black kippah. But every time you walk out of the bathroom, you do this and talk to yourself. I said, have you just thought about how that works? He goes, yeah, that's a good point, actually. So, okay, fine. Sometimes you don't realize. So the Ramban says in number 14 here, says, who was this fellow, this wicked man? Oysa Reka, this good-for-nothing guy, number 14, his understanding of this Gemara is it's not that he ate Shemitah produce during Shemitah. He ate things without being taken care of the beer. He ate the fruit after the Zman beer without having got rid of it. the Amar, and he would say she'isa achilas tevel min hatara, not eating tevel which is produced without trumas and maishas and chala, that's min hatara. The habir is achilas peiros shvius, and the iser, the beer and the iser of eating shvius produce achar beer is min rabban gamliel v'chaver. It's only the rabbanon, or shehabir min hatara, or maybe beer is min hatara. The isa achila midivraim, and the iser of achila is midrabbanon. Either way. Which was obviously wrong. By the way, I didn't mention this before, this is a very important point. Even if you hold that the mitzvah of biur is a Torah mitzvah, today almost all poskim hold that the whole mitzvah of Shemitah is a rabbinic mitzvah. And we dealt with this at length earlier on the earlier Shirim for all sorts of reasons, connection to Yovel, the Jewish people being here in the majority or non-majority, and I brought you on the front, the first page, a little summary of that debate in the footnotes. So even if you held that Bir today was a Torah mitzvah, it can't be if Shemitah itself is not a Torah mitzvah. Interestingly, the Ramban is one of the few that holds that Shemitah today is a Torah mitzvah. But he still holds the biur is a rabbinic mitzvah. So either way, it's going to be drabonim. So this low life didn't do it. Clearly, if you miss this man, that is a major problem. So what should you do? So then you wake up one morning and you realize there's food in your cupboard in the kitchen. You missed this man, biur. You didn't do this. You didn't put it outside. What should you do? So first of all, you can always do biur. You can do biur late. You can take it out and say, you know, this produce is, you know, hefka, da 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 da. You don't miss it just because you missed the date. But what if it's not possible to do that anymore? So look at number 15. Here's a tshuva of Rav Moshe, of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman says an interesting thing. Nira lefi ani astaiti. I think, he says, the itachim shel maise, in practice, yesh lismach bazeh al mashikosav b'sefer charedim. The Sefer Charedim, important Sefer from, I think, the 16th century, he writes there, Shemitzvahs biur perishvias, when it comes to the mitzvah of biur and the prohibition of eating the fruit after, she'im ne'enas, if you were prevented, if you weren't able to do it, the lohif kiram bizman, and you didn't do it at the right time, bizman habir, de'ein haperis ne'esarim, then you don't have to worry about it. How would you be ne'enas? You went on holiday for Pesach, you went away. And then you realized, oy vey zmir, all my grape juice is in the house, and I forgot I have to do beer on Erev Pesach. What can I do? No one's there, the house is locked up, there's nothing I can do. Okay, you were ne'enas, he says, if you missed it, and it wasn't, you didn't intend it, it's not your fault. And that's fine. You don't have to worry, there's no prohibition afterwards. And he goes on, Rav Shlomo Zalman, you don't have to do beer. Yeah, I mean, you can do beer, but if you ate it, you wouldn't have to. He says you should do beer, because you can do. But let's say there was no, someone's in your house, they're going to eat it, whatever, you can't get to them, it's fine. The Choshvani, I think even, the Kevin, the Masha, Aperish, Ne'esarim, when we say that the fruit is prohibited, Kaimalan, what we mean is, Shehurak Knas, this is a fine of the Chachamim. Umistaba, and it makes sense, the loy nesa elikashava bazadon. Who would the rabbis make a knas, a fine, a penalty on? People who do things on purpose. The loy beer, and he didn't do the beer. Aval shoygeg, but let's say you didn't realize, you were in the house, but you forgot, or no one had told you about this, or you missed it. You realize when you look at this chart that I gave you in the appendix, I have apples in the house from that I bought in, whenever, and there's man beer past, and we've been eating them, and now they're all in the salad, and they're in the food, what's going to be? Says even if you were b'shogeg, it's not a problem. Chashiv nami ka'ones, that's as good as ones, and you don't have to worry about it. L'chein b'yadua, what's that?
This
is number 15. U'lechein b'yadua sheloines kaven, because you never had any intention, la'akevis aperis, to keep hold of them at achaz man habir, until after the beer. U'mashelo beer, the reason you didn't do it, he says, hurak m'plesh shagag, is because you didn't realize, you forgot. V'lo yada, you didn't know. Shekvar higiyaz man, that this man had already come. This is quite possible. You know, were you aware that the Zman of beer for the apples was in January? Maybe you weren't aware. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, don't worry about it. You already ate them, you already gave them some, it's not a problem. Kevan deloy matzin and shigam bezek kanso shogeg aso edi. We don't find anywhere the Chazal said they extended the fine. Sometimes they, when there's a penalty, they extend it even to shogeg. Think of, let's say you had chometz that you forgot to sell on Pesach. So there we say, I'm sorry. You forgot to sell the chometz on Pesach. Afterwards, the chometz is prohibited. Chometz shavalav Pesach. Oh, but I didn't. I forgot. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. What can I do? You have to throw it away. So sometimes we do say, especially in areas where we feel people are going to cheat. Oh, I did it by accident. Oh, I never knew. Okay, you know, Spielerei. So if there sometimes Chazal said, but here they didn't say that. The one situation, there's a tshuva of Rav Ephraim Greenblatt about Chomesha Aval of Pesach. If you remember, we looked at this tshuva some time ago of a Baal tshuva fellow who had whiskey, who had a very expensive whiskey collection. I know people who have 500-600 bottles of expensive whiskey in their house. Yeah? Tens of thousands of dollars worth of whiskey. And he became frum, and now he's like religious. And then somebody said to him, oh, you might want to know, you have to throw all your whiskey down the toilet, because or down the sink, because it's all Chomesh Avalav Pesach. You're Jewish, you were always Jewish. It's not like you're a ger. If you're a ger, you could argue, you know, I wasn't Jewish, I didn't have to get... You're a Baal Tshuva. You have to throw it all away. So he went to the rabbi and said, Rabbi, I never signed up for this. This, you never told me about this. And Rabbi Greenblatt finds him a heter on the basis of a combination of things. Number one, he didn't do it on purpose, which doesn't usually get you out. But number two, there is a lone opinion out there that maybe whiskey is not Chometz Gomor because it's distilled. Now, we don't pass gonna like that. I want to make sure you know that up front. Whiskey is Chometz Gomor, and you can't drink it. But he said, when it comes to the Drabbanon, and it wasn't your fault, and you're about tshuva.
If you have a whiskey business.
Okay, so that's what they produced the whole thing for. No, you sell it before Pesach. You sell it, but this fellow never sold it because he didn't know. For years and years he had it, yes. Ah, you're interesting, interesting question. You don't really want people to take it if they're not going to treat it with Kedusha Shvis. Okay, that's a good point. I didn't see that raised anywhere. It makes sense that you would try and encourage the people to take it who are going to look after it.
Yeah, but
are you going to, you know, how are you going to know? That's a good question. By the way, the Chazanish again is machmir, even if you forgot. I saw a psak of Rav Chaim Kanievsky that if you dyed clothes with a dye that was Kedusha Shvis, from a plant that was Kedusha Shvias, and you didn't do the Zman Bir, you didn't put your clothes outside and make them Hefka, you have to burn them. It's not like quite a Machmir Psak. Rosh Shlomo Zalman would certainly say, that's not the Psak, you don't have to burn things. I don't see people burning their clothes very much. Although maybe in Bnei Brak, they do this, I have no idea. Or they're careful not to come into the problem. I do remember seeing someone in Hanov burning their shekel. You know, when the whole thing came out, that the shekels come from India, and that you can't wear them, and it's Avodah Zorah, and then they realize, like they always do, that actually it's not a problem of Avodah Zorah, etc. But in the meantime, there are people who burn their shekels. I always say it's only the hopheads that burn their shekels. Okay, fine. So what about gifting food? The last thing. Oh, what about taste? If you've got food mixed in, so that's an interesting shaila. What if you mixed Shemitah food into something and then the Zman beer arrives? Is it bottle b'shishim or not? So after the Zman beer, it's for sure bottle b'shishim because it's like any prohibited food. It passed the Zman beer, you've been mixed it in, it got mixed in, and now it's nullified. But before the Zman beer, you could make a strong argument that it's halachically what's called a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Anything which can become permitted is not nullified. Even in Shishim, even in Aleph. For example, Chometz. Chometz on Pesach, it's a davar sheyesh matirin, because it will be permitted again after Pesach, so you can't rely on bittel. So you could make an argument that food that gets mixed in before Pesach, before the Zman beer, is not going to be bottled even b'shishim. I can leave you to ask your shilas. You can always do beer on it. Obviously, you can put out your, you know, your casserole or your whatever it is. People do have this. Yesterday, I went to a chasna where the father of the kala had made beer, as in beer, like B-E-E-R. Okay, and he put Kedusha Shvias lemon juice into it on purpose so that you'd finish all the beer and be happy at the chasna. And everyone who drank the beer said, like you said, you've got to finish it. It's got Kedusha Shvias lemon juice, Kedusha Shvias beer. What do you do about the biur for the beer? Okay, how do you do that? So that's an interesting question because it's all mixed in. It's got Kedusha Shvias and Pashas, the beer will need biur. Okay, so you'll have to do beer on your beer, and it's not a bottle of beer. You could go with this pun a long way. The bottle of beer is not bottle for beer. Okay, fine, you can work out that. What if you get a gift? So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, if you get a gift of produce, this is the final thing, that was not treat it properly, this man beer, then what you should do, ideally, again, they did it by accident, they didn't know, whatever, you could rely on that. He said you should do beer when you get it. When you get it, take it out, do beer, you can do it next next spring, you can do it anytime you like. So if you get a bottle of Het HaMechira wine, and if you hold by the Het HaMechira, then it's ganz fine. If you don't hold back the Het HaMechira, then you don't have to throw it down the sink. You can just take it outside whenever you get it. Let's say he gives you a bottle of Het HaMechira wine in August next year. Take it outside. You do beer. Get three people or whatever. Wait a few minutes. Do you want it? Do you not want it? Take it back in. Okay? And then you've been mafkir it. Can you give it away to somebody who holds by the Het HaMechira? Which is, of course, the thing that you'd be most likely to want to do. Oh, I don't want to bother with this wine. I don't hold by Het HaMechira. I give it to my neighbors. They hold by Het HaMechira. So if you hold that Het HaMechira works, basically, but you're machmir, because you want to be strict on this, then of course you can give it to your neighbor. You hold it's completely kosher. What if you hold that it's mamash not kosher? The Het HaMechira is, and people feel very strongly about these things, there's hashkafic issues involved as well. Can you still give it to your frum neighbor that does hold by the Het HaMechira? And the answer to that is, yes, you can still do that according to many poskim, because, number one, he could get it somewhere else without you. Remember all our Lifnei Iver discussions? He could get it without you anyway. And he holds that it's mutter. And even if you gave him tochacha and said, you're not allowed to drink this, he wouldn't listen to you because he asked his rabbi, who, in your opinion, mistakenly, told him that he can hold by the Het HaMechira, so there's no reason why the tochacha will work, so there's no problem of Masayeha. I'm going back to that shir that we gave before. But you could always just put it outside and do beer. Anyway, I wish you happy biur on all of this, and we'll next week we'll move into Pesach proper. I want to look at some aspects of the Haggadah and the mitzvahs of Seder night. Be'ezrat Hashem.
I'm a little confused about my neighbors, because I know my neighbors. I know who's religious.